Today we begin the microphone that won't stay where it should. We begin our new series for the year. This series is that working, Kathy? No. Is that okay now? Right. You will notice we have a new banner up. Alex had some technical difficulties getting it up, but we will have that sorted. Our subject, our topic, our search for the year is into the question of who we are becoming. That question pivots on the question that people at all times in all places have asked themselves, who am I? It is what philosophers call one of the great existential questions. In some places in the world, people answer that according to who their family is. But for us in the West, this question, in an era where we present ourselves, and that is a significant part of our life, this question is difficult. Who are we and who are we becoming? In many ways, I'm a mystery to myself and also to others. I'm unsure about my own identity. Often we are unable to discern our own abilities, our own strengths, and in particular, our own potential. Perhaps we're aware of some of our fatal flaws, although not all of them. Most of us have cleverly hidden our most dangerous features from ourselves. I'm going to give up on this. Can I have another mic, please? Sorry about that. In that fog of not knowing, we often deceive ourselves about who we are. We can hide from the things we don't like about ourselves. But sometimes what we do instead is to pull on other faces. We try out the identity of other people. We try on different personas, like one might try on a shirt, seeing if they fit nicely, seeing if they serve my goals. Who am I? We ask. Sometimes the answer is that I'm someone whose life is out of shape. And very often, our sense of that is found in our bodies. Our answer might be, I'm 6 kilos overweight. It's hard to run now, and my clothes don't fit. I can't play squash without feeling it for days afterwards. So I resolved to lose weight, join a gym. Did you know that January is the peak month in the year when people join gymnasiums? Sometimes they're wasting their money because they use it 4 times. People resolve to get abs and to get fit. They're out there exercising, believing that if we can change ourselves from the outside, then that will work its way in. Because if my weight is right, surely my life is. True? Who am I? We ask. I'm someone who needs to sort out her world. And for women, of course, the place where we begin this is in our wardrobe. We hold sweaters asking, does this spark joy? We channel Marie Kondo Our bedrooms look like a disaster zone with piles of clothes everywhere and not a lot of folding going on. We donate to the Selvos. We unclutter our wardrobes. And surely that orders my internal world as well. My bedroom's tidier, and ultimately I do save some time. But the question remains, who am I? So we sort out our shed. We get rid of the rubbish and the things that we were always going to fix, but we didn't. Eventually, they're rehoused, which often means the dump or somebody else's shed. We clean our tools. We organise racks. Maybe we buy some better power tools. And if we organise our shed well, maybe we can have some living space as well and make a man shed, a man cave. But the question lingers, who am I? Perhaps I don't like my work, and that's not great for my life, because of course I am what I do. That is my entire identity. So I apply for new jobs, and if I'm lucky, I will win a change of role. And then I will know the answer to my question, who am I? Or maybe a new neighbourhood would help. A different house would make all the difference. Then I would know who I was. So I religiously search realestate.com. I go to lots of open inspections and try on other people's lives for size. I doodle house plans. I dip a toe in the market by getting valuations for my home. Because surely a new home or a renovated one or perhaps a rearranged one will have to suffice, will surely answer my question, who am I? Perhaps I dislike the person that I perceive myself to be. I lack style. Maybe I could reinvent myself. We are masters of this. Perhaps I need to shift brand loyalties to better coffee, better sneakers, better sunglasses, better phone, better car. Who am I? Maybe what I need are different motivations. Maybe someone else can help me to understand who I am. Maybe I could buy a book or two, or go travelling more and explore other cultures. Or I could find a life coach or a new Bible study group, because I am a Christian. I know that's a good answer. Or I could find a spiritual director or a men's group. Or if we're really desperate, a new spouse. Who am I? I know this isn't just me. This question bites. Part of the answer, and on a good day we do know this, is that I'm a follower of Jesus. And he has a lot to say about who we are, though we may not always like it. I want to look at a passage that may surprise you, because it may not seem to you to fit. It's in Luke. Oops, we didn't see him. It's in Luke chapter 20, starting at verse 20. Keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies, this is to Jesus, who pretended to be sincere. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he said, so that they might hand him over to the power authority of the governor. So the spies questioned him. Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? He saw through their duplicity and said to them, show me a denarius whose image and inscription are on it. Caesar's, they replied. He said to them, then give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. They were unable to trap him in what he had said there in public, and astonished by his answer, they became silent. Maybe you're mystified as to why I'm using this passage this morning. Surely you say this story is about the relationship of church and state. Well, yes and no. This story appears in Jesus' story shortly before his crucifixion. It occurs in the midst of Jesus being tested by groups who are seeking a reason to condemn him. Both the Pharisees and the Sadducees want him gone. They want to get back to business as normal in the temple. Jesus has been tested by small delegations sent to ask him trick questions like, was John's baptism from heaven or human origin? What happens to marriage at the resurrection? But each time, instead of Jesus being put on the spot, his questioners end up looking stupid. He outsmarts them. He outreasons them. In today's story, the trick question is this one. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? The reason this question is so clever is because if Jesus opposes paying the tribute to Caesar, that will make him a dangerous revolutionary and he'll be in trouble with the Roman authorities. But if he says to pay the tribute, it will demonstrate that he isn't the holy man that they think, that he doesn't mean what he's been teaching, for example, in the Lord's Prayer or the Sermon on the Mount. He will then be a disappointment to the crowds, less than what he seems to be. But the very fact that one of the Pharisees had a denarius in his pocket undermines the trap right from the beginning. You see, Caesar claims to be a son of God, and that is stamped on the denarius. So what was this Pharisee doing possessing such a blasphemous object? In the first place, by making this claim, Caesar demands worship. So why is a Pharisee carrying this object, proclaiming Caesar, son of God, in his pocket? Jesus' accusers find themselves convicted. But Jesus isn't done. Then he said to them, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. There's an inferred back in Jesus' words, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give back to God what is God's. Jesus' accusers stand accused themselves of failing to give back to God all that is owed to him. It is they who have consistently failed to worship the living God, failed to live as his people before the world. The temple, the meeting place of heaven and earth, has turned into a den of thieves. In the temple, Israel is supposed to come and give back to God what is his own. In worship, in prayer, in holiness, and in sacrifice. But the temple, under the direct supervision of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, has become a brigand's lair. They hold most things back while making a great pretense at piety. They tithe their coming and their dill, but they don't do justice. They use temple laws to exclude the marginal people of Israel. They shut out the very people that God is for. So what does this passage mean for us today? What does it mean to give back to God what belongs to him? I believe, and I'm not the only one, that amongst other things it speaks to the question of our identity. Who am I is a great question, and it is an important question. Please hear me saying that. But for those who know Jesus, the foundational question becomes not who am I, but whose am I? Our society would tell us that we are our own. Jesus is telling us that we belong to God. I am God's. I am a child of God. I'm clay in the hands of a potter. I have been purchased with a great price. I am the beloved of Jesus. I'm co-heir with Jesus Christ. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am not my own. I belong to God. And everything that I have is given to me by God. My life is given to me by God. My breath is given to me by God. My gifts are given to me by God. My intellect is. My body, my mouth, my hands, my feet, my heart, all belong to God. My family does too. And my money, and every opportunity that ever comes my way, they all belong to God. And Jesus would tell us to give back to God what is God's. Whose am I? I'm God's. And that has implications for every other question about my identity. This is where we're going to be walking this year. Let's pray. Lord God, we are not our own. We are not captains of our own fate. You give us a free will. But as those who are loved and saved by you, you call us to give it all back, to surrender ourselves to your loving authority. We are owned, and we want to cooperate with your ownership of us. And we want to know, and we want to live as people who know whose we are. For Jesus' sake and the sake of his name. Amen. Now, I don't often do this, but Jesse, would we be able to have the song that you began with, your new song? Thank you. Your microphone back now.